In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
G'day and welcome to the Ball Boys AFL Fantasy Live on your Friday afternoon. We're here to preview the first of the bye rounds, round 12, and we're going to dive into all things including trade targets and captains and answering your questions. Let's go!
Hodge has done it from nowhere.
G'day and welcome again to the Ball Boys AFL Fantasy Podcast. I'm your host, Mitch Casey, and you can find me on Twitter at Ball Boys Fantasy. And I'm joined by Luke Rogerson, the proud new coach of Kai Lohman, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Big pow, 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 pow.
Big Kai in last night.
Let's go, Kai.
How are you, mate?
I'm good. We're rugged up today. The moist meter.
Miserable weather here in Brisbane.
Yeah, what's going on? We just come to the weekend and suddenly we get shit weather. So it's cold, it's wet, it's disgusting. Yep. Speaking of raining, how's this for a segue? It was raining fantasy relevant players.
It was, mate. I had four fantasy players ins and outs last night. All of them cheapies, but Zach Reed and Lewis Hayes both left my side, and Angus Clark and Kai Lohman came into my side last night, and I had a little mini heart attack at just before quarter time, where I saw Kai Lohman try to go up for this pack mark. He fell over in a heap, ankle twisted underneath him, and I thought, here we fucking go again. I've traded in a cheap player who's going to injure himself on an early dud score. But no, he came back out the second quarter. He was jumping around in the huddle, and I thought, oh, he could be back on here. Straight back on there and powered through to a decent score.
Right, when you sent me that text, I thought that his score was going to be low, man. So
he's back.
Let's go. And yes, I have been workshopping that all day.
I thought so. That seemed very rehearsed.
Yeah, it was. A couple of times in the car on the way home from work. Easy as you like.
So, look, Thursday night trades, I'd say so far, so good. I mean, the class score was a little bit underwhelming, but I thought his game was better than his, what did he score, 46 or 42 points suggested. I actually think he was a bit better than that. He gave away a couple of unlucky free kicks. So I think he'll be around for a number of weeks. But what else happens on Thursday night?
Is it time to pack the bags and get on board?
Oh, the luggage.
Lugage.
Yeah,
the French luggage.
Yeah, McLuggage, he had a massive game, and he is going under the radar a lot this season. Now, he did make the honorable mentions this week on the big boys. Not officially a top 10. I won't claim credit there. But he is now averaging a cool 104 points, which makes him a top 8 midfielder so far this season. And he's still the low millions. This will definitely push his price up. But, yeah, definitely someone I think
we're sleeping on him.
Yeah, maybe we've been sleeping on him. I think we should definitely have him on our radar.
The trouble is those Lions have just so many good midfielders. It is hard to believe that one that we would probably have sort of like third in the pecking order is potentially the guy that's going to be the one. What else happened last night, Mitch?
So what else happened was that Caldwell, he was very, very well last night. And he was one of the guys that I was pretty keen on trading in this week. He was second only in the trade targets to Zach Merritt, which we'll talk about in a second. But he had, especially that third quarter, he had 18 disposals in the third quarter, which is an Essendon record, by the way. So
his third quarter was his only good
quarter.
One, but
60-plus point quarter. I don't care how bad your other quarters were. He was killing it, and I think he is going to go very well, especially if Zach Merritt is going to be playing more off half back, which he did last night. Seven kick-ins, Luke. They have obviously got a lot of injuries, especially in the back line. So I'm not sure whether this is a tactic they're doing just to cover those injuries for the time being, or whether this is something they want to do moving forward. But Essendon, they lost last night, but it was they were down big early, and they kind of came back into the game very impressively. So I think they'd walk away from that game liking what they saw. So I think they'll stick with it, at least for the short to medium term.
I can't quite work out if it's a good thing or a bad thing. Obviously,
I think it could be a really, really good thing.
Brisbane are not exactly the best matchup to test it against. No. But yeah, I mean, halfback role, and Merritt knows how to find the footy anywhere, so that could be anything.
Yeah, yeah, I think it could be... I think personally it could be a good thing, especially in a team like Essendon, who, if, you know, Reed can rack up back there...
Yeah.
Oh. Imagine what fucking Merritt can do.
Yeah, correct. Nick Martin, under my esteemed tutelage, has been on track for 160 plus 2 weeks in a row until... You moz the fuck out of him in the group text.
Yeah, well, I couldn't have it.
You can't just let your friends have nice things.
He was fucking everywhere, and...
That's exactly the point.
Yeah. He had 68% CBAs last night, which was by far his biggest. He had 32 the week before, and before that, basically, he didn't see a single centre bounce. So, he, you know, with Merritt going back, he's kind of gone into the centre and played forward, still gets into the half-back line, and you know, gets those cheap plus sixes out of the kickouts and stuff like that. So I think I definitely need to reevaluate my projection on him. He's probably in contention for F2, I think, at this point. I don't know if I can say in competition with F1 because Bailey Smith is still sitting there. But yeah, he could be as high as F2, I think. He's just a fucking good player.
Another great example of my elite coaching was...
You were ahead of the curve on this one.
Ashcroft subbed out. I saw it coming 5 weeks ago, guys, yeah. And I pulled the trigger on him, and now, ha-ha.
Yeah, us shit idiots here, we got stuck with a 57 on our field. Oh.
Suck shit, everyone.
So, in all seriousness, is this... He's going to start to go backwards. He's break-even was 70 this week. He's going to start to go backwards in cash. I think after this... His break-even will shoot up closer to 90 next week. He's nearly 800,000. A lot of us would want to get him to the round 16 buy. Do you trade him out early, or do you just hold on to him and just think he goes all right?
That sounds like a you problem, my friend.
Jesus, just not helping anyone out. I think you can trade him. I might potentially be... looking at that next week, but don't get ahead of myself.
He has so much coin that there's that old scenario where you get one upgrade and you really don't need much money to get your second upgrade. So I can see it being an option. How far down do you want to sit in your chair this afternoon, my friend? Because
I'm cruising, man.
I look like Victor Wembanyama and you look like Caleb Daniel.
Yeah, well...
And I don't mind it. So stay right where you are.
I'm just chilling, man. It's just a chill Friday afternoon. Got my beer here. Got a good score from Kai Lohman last night.
You know who didn't get a good score? Johnson.
No.
And I'm not talking about old Johnson.
No, it's a different kind of Johnson.
What happened to Johnson?
He got subbed out. So he...
Johnson pulled out. Taunt.
Yeah, he... this is sort of the fear about going into these rookies... without seeing anything first. I thought he could have gone all right because he was playing a bit off the back line and that's where a lot of the injuries were, but not to be. So he got subbed out at 34, which, if you did launch into it, makes you very nervous about his potential safety in the team over the next few rounds. Hopefully he can get back in there again, give another go, you know, in and out all the time, but... Hopefully he's...
It's penis humor, guys. Yeah. It's Johnson. Just for anyone who's not in the know. If you don't know. Wait. Yeah, if you know.
Yeah. A lot of good humor around here with...
good is very subjective. Yeah. outside of last night's game, teams, team reactions.
So a bit going on. So a lot of players that they themselves might not be fantasy relevant, but I think there's a lot of flow-on effects. So your boy, Kadeem Coleman, he's out.
Yeah. Another one I saw coming quite quickly.
Didn't do anything about it
last night.
So he's a trade out candidate. Josh Kelly, he's back in for the Giants. Mm. Pies, everyone's back in.
Yeah,
Prestia's back in, so he might have some flow on effects.
You're flying through this, but Kelly back in really doesn't matter, except for the fact that Xavier O'Halloran is somebody who benefited from the Finn Callahan out last week and is quite underpriced. If he continues to do that, does Josh Kelly coming in impact that?
Yep. So I think it does. It absolutely has to. Whether or not it affects O'Halloran more than it affects someone like Toby Green, and there's a bit of footage out there that he's maybe a bit sore after training or something today. But regardless, I think it's a negative.
You know what's a little thing that worries me too is last year, obviously Josh Kelly had stints where he was unavailable. Mm. But when he was there, he wasn't just a shoe-in for the CBAs, but then having a look at his early games this season, there's only one game where he features less than 40%. That does make me a little nervous on O'Halloran, but that's something we're going to hash out a little bit.
Also, maybe something... a bit under the radar, but Toby McMullen also coming back in might also have a small little effect because he has averaged 25% CBAs so far this season.
Sausage or bacon?
What?
The McMuffin.
Oh, the McMuffin. No.
What's your go-to?
Bacon.
No.
Clearly.
False. No, sausage, mate.
Well, this is just where you're wrong. So he in the last four games that he played went 20%, 38%, 54%, 25%. So he's also someone that can, maybe it's not much, but it's like, it's just another body that could go in there. Yeah. And it's not like we're talking about, you know, elite midfielder here in O'Halloran. Like he's only in there to plug a hole. So
yeah,
these two things, a bit like Johnson, he's... Mark said we shouldn't beat around the bush with old Johnson, and I totally agree. it's a rich area.
We'll never elevate this show.
No. It's right in our wheelhouse. But all this has got me kind of a little bit... I'm getting cold feet with Xavier O'Halloran. Mm. And I also went back and looked at some of his scores in the past, and he... It's not looking good, Luke.
Bit of stench coming off it.
There's a lot of stench. So in full games, for example, if I go back to last year, so full games, we're looking at a 29 here, 28, a 36, a 55, a 43, a 46. Yeah. These are pretty gross scores.
It's rough.
I know he's got Richmond this week, but if he is back to more of a high half forward role, it could be a real flop of a pick. So it's just got me. You're not talking about Johnson anymore.
You didn't even mean that.
Not talking about Johnson, but I just think it's giving me a bit of cold feet. Am I overreacting? Do you think
it's tough when the two ends of the spectrum are so far apart because we are absolutely relying on CBAs for this pick to work.
Mm. Whereas, I mean, I think the Richmond matchup is a level of safety.
Yeah, I mean, this week. And I know that you've said that this time of the year is the time of the year where you can...
short-term play. But again, one of the appeals was that he has around 16 by, so you're hopefully holding for 4 weeks. So you might get one good week and then three pretty dud weeks.
All right, we'll give more airtime, I'm sure, in the questions section. Let's have a look at a couple of super chats.
Yeah, we've got a few. We've got to scroll back.
We do have to scroll back a little bit. So we'll get a super chat and then we'll continue with team news. Sean says Holmes or Ash this week, Mitch.
To me, it's Holmes. Now, he has every chance to go out there and just make me look like an idiot again. Because he's done this a couple times.
He does that, yeah.
But they have a great run, Geelong does. And he is 100K cheaper than Ash. Both have the same buy. And I could very easily see Holmes and Ash averaging the same for the rest of the season. And just saving that 100K, I think, is worth it.
Lats says, Lads, can't move Lawler to a mid spot. So only forward option is O'Halloran. Is he still the play? Look, if you're in that particular tricky spot there where
I still think he's a decent play. Like, the Richmond matchup is definitely something. The other play, if you didn't do it, I mean, you can't do it now, was Kai Lohman as a forward. For some reason, I thought Sam Berry was a forward mid, but he is actually only mid only. It probably is him. Go through my other notes here. Could you go a Toby Green instead?
No.
No, I don't think he could either.
I mean, what's the price difference there?
I mean, it's about 200K.
Yeah,
like it's maybe more. I think like 250K.
I think you can hide behind the Richmond matchup, Lats, and then if things go...
It is a risk.
Yeah.
But his break-even's 8. He's versing Richmond. He comes out, he puts up... he's probably going up 40K. Like, yeah. I think you can hide behind that a little bit.
If the CBAs aren't there and you can get high behind the Richmond matchup, you still maybe want to be planning on...
It might be quickly in and out.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's less... like, it's less of a catastrophe at this point of the season.
Lats also says, Luke, when are we going to get the analysis of Christina Petrarca? I think this was a little typo in my round review.
Oh, the old Christina Petrarca.
Christina Petrarca. Yeah, it's got legs now.
Is you looking glamorous?
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah? Yeah. G-L...
No, not for me. Right, not for me. Tim, thank you for your super chat, Tim.
Oh my God, I just saw what he scored.
Holy, Tim scored almost 2,600 points, 2,597. Like, that's got to be top.
That has to be like top 20.
Traded in Johnson, Clark, Sinclair for Reed, Kakko, Brock. Is it a good thing still?
Well,
what's Tim?
What was it? Johnson.
So Johnson, Clark locked away. Sinclair's good trade.
Sinclair's, I like it. The cash gen on those on Clark is going to be good. Johnson might be costly.
Yeah.
But he was a basic price rookie, so hopefully you've banked a bit of cash in that. And then, Kakko and Brock to get off. Yeah, it's. They're two red dots, basically. Kakko,
you're
essentially,
get
is
Kakko
a red
and
dot.
Brock off together, or you get them off individually? What was your plan there?
Just with Johnson.
Yeah, bring him in as well.
Yeah.
Just to watch. Okay, thank you for the super chats, guys. Let's get back to team reactions. Pies, Mitch said, brought everyone back in. So we had the little flag on Will Hayes. He has been
dropped.
Omitted.
Yeah.
Even I think Ed Allen still there. But just with so many good names coming back.
Could easily
in.
Be the could, sub
yeah,
as well.
Could be. Callum Mills suspended.
Does this help? Because earlier in the week in the Monday podcast, we talked about his link with Sheldrick. Does this make Sheldrick more of a play as well, as maybe an alternative? Because we thought, okay, Mills is back in. He's going to up his time on ground, up his CBAs over the next few weeks. Well, you've got this week with no Callum Mills, and then next week... is Richmond. So even if Mills is back, you've got Richmond there, and then it's his bye. So he's like a 2 week play. Is he now become more enticing?
I also feel more confident with Sheldrick just being a pure point scoring guy.
He is a guy that knows how to score fantasy.
That's it.
Points.
Those guys that can have low TOG and still score really well. Hopefully can even go into weird positions and still give you something. Yep. So yeah, this is something that I'll be working through in this podcast too. But yeah, I think it's a good point. Prestia back in at the Tigs. So McAuliffe might be in danger, but...
I still think he's there. I don't think he's sub risk, but maybe his CBAs might dip a little bit. I mean, the other thing is Thompson Dow's out. He was in there as well. And your boy Lawler, he obviously was out last week, but he would every now and again prior to that was going in there.
Plays for Essendon.
Yeah, he does. Why does everyone play for Essendon? All the weird names. Yeah. So, I think it hurts him, but not as much as I think as like Kelly in hurts O'Halloran.
Yeah,
would be my take. Would you agree, disagree, or?
I mean, I also think that something that you need to consider as well is that Richmond are just not that good.
Yeah,
at scoring points as well. So, sorry to break that to you. So you also have to consider that there's just limited points to go around. Maybe that knocks 5-10 points off what he would be in another team. Lombard, in a debut.
Yeah, he's debuting. He's a bit on the pricier side, like over 300,000. So he
Gold Coast have shown a willingness to ease these guys in as well.
I think like Jake Rogers, I think is another high-ish draft pick who's had a lot of time as the sub. So I wouldn't be surprised to see him debut as a sub potentially. So I'd be waiting on him.
And a couple of others just quickly before we do some more super chats. Shawnee Das,
he's back.
A
lot of people were talking about the Luke Jackson last week.
Yep,
he'd had a decent score, not anything incredible, but probably blown up in your face a little bit now.
This is just straight deja vu, like for the last 2 years.
It happens
2 years,
all the time. Yeah.
You just think, he's an option because he's always forward DPP, and then...
I still think you can't... You hold Luke Jackson because I think there's every chance that Sean does get subbed out.
Could be, yeah.
But, that's not good news. And Rory Laird managed. Didn't see this one coming. Is this in any way...
managed from a half-back role? Where it doesn't have to...
Is this in any way helpful? And I'm probably stretching.
You are.
Is this in any way helpful for Sam Berry?
Why?
Just one less player who's a walk-up to not be the starting sub.
Oh, okay, to not be the start. I mean, from that perspective, perhaps, but role-wise, no.
Not yeah, role-wise, it won't affect him, but I'm just saying, is it... There's... What's 23 divided
by... what?
By 1? Like, what's...
23 divided by 1? 23.
How much is 1 of a percentage of 23? Like, how much...
Oh, 1 is a percentage of 23? Well, like 1 is a percentage of 10 would be 10%, so it's going to be about 4.5%.
He's about a 4% less likelihood to be the sub now. So it's a 4%... improvement.
That's what the people tuned in for, is some quick math.
Big math on the show.
I'm pretty sure we didn't even get it right. Okay, let's stop doing math and do some super chats. Tim says...
top three!
Fuck me dead, Tim. You are having a monster season. Finished top three last week.
As in your ranked top three or your top three of the week or both?
Top three of the week, I would say, without score.
Oh,
but
God.
That will put you in the top 100, no doubt.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's a big, big week. Good on you, mate.
Absolutely. One Shot Kids says, and thank you for the super chat, says, played around with the trades this week, edited my trade from Dunkley in to Caldwell, opened the app at halftime to see the trade didn't save.
Oh, no.
Bro.
That sucks, mate.
This is the anxiety inducing, like I might do my trades on my laptop or whatever, and then the game starts, and I quickly check the app, and you know how the app just might take a second to update,
to
and
over,
you just get that.
That's a good question for everyone in the comments. Like, how do you... Do you use the laptop or the desktop browser a lot, or do you use the app?
I never
use the app.
The app's horrible.
Yeah, I will avoid using the app at all costs, and if I'm out, but if I'm at home, I will always resort
to
the
fair,
desktop.
To be fair, even the desktop has its flaws. Sahail, thank you very much for your super chat.
Thank you, mate.
Says, just saying howdy. Good luck to everyone.
Sahail is one of the big legends out there. He always is very generous with the super chats, and I don't think he asks for much in return. So
we appreciate
it. I'm just going to be sending you positive vibes this weekend. Thank you very much, mate.
For sure. Another super chat here from Talina says, just curious, which two would you field out of Boxall, Cleary, and Marich?
Oh, actually, that reminds me. Let's check the Sunday squads because that might mean, you know, Boxall might rule himself out there. The St. Kilda... Jack Carroll is a new player. I was hoping my boy Hasey was going to get in there.
Wishful thinking.
Let's look at the bench. So Boxall's still there. He's on the bench with Clark, Burns, Carroll, and Hall. Carroll coming in. Do you think he is the likely sub then?
Surely Boxall can manage a full game here. And this is what Talina says in the chat here is full game. And obviously when he does play, his points per minute are pretty decent.
I still think of those three, I'd be backing in Ryan Marich, like hands down.
It's hard. He's only had one poor score really. Outside of that, he's scoring in line almost with...
Yeah, he's had some 70s and 80s and
it's been good.
90s. I think he turned up once.
So you go Marich, Boxall, Cleary?
Yeah. There's no chance Boxall turns up, whereas Marich could. So I think, you shoot it with the upside there. And Cleary last. Yeah, definitely Cleary last.
Tim also asks here, Brock or Connell out?
Oh, Brock or Connell. Brock's the key forward West Coast, yeah? Yeah, I think that is right. And who's the other
Connell.
Guy? Connell. Is that O'Connell?
I think just Connell. I think Connell.
Oh,
St. Kilda.
God.
From memory? Connell? No?
Connell. There's Liam O'Connell. Wasn't there a Geelong?
Yeah, it might be O'Connell then for Tim. O'Connor, perhaps, you're thinking
O'Connor.
For Geelong.
Fuck, but I think there's too many.
I think Tim here might be talking O'Connell.
Then I'm going to go O'Connell. I'm going to go Connell out, and I'm going to hold on to Brock. I think he seems to be getting consistent games at least.
Tyler here says, Legends, Holmes or Holmes and Stewart, or is it Ash and Sheldrick? Thank you for the super chat, Tyler.
Great question. Tom Stewart, where are we at?
Trading in two Geelong players at the same time.
They got a great run.
Give me just heart palpitations. But I still think Stewart is, when playing, far more likely to outscore Sheldrick and obviously has better job security than Sheldrick.
Later buy, so if he is a cash and flick kind of play.
Yeah.
over four rounds, Stewart could make just as much money as Sheldrick makes over two.
Yeah,
and plus, I think you're going to get better scoring.
Holmes, you mentioned the run. So I think, regardless, I think it could be Holmes and Stewart.
I think I'm that way too.
Based on that logic there. Okay, mate. Any more team reactions there based on those extended benches?
No, we're going to talk about big boys in a second, but I want to get a final ranking. And I did this on the Patreon, but like I said, I've been backflipping a little bit. I want to get a final ranking on those mid prices. So I'm talking to guys around the 400-500K. So the guys we're talking about here are Xavier O'Halloran, Sheldrick, Berry, and Kay McAuliffe.
Yeah.
Those four players. Where are we ranking those four players now? Originally, I think I had O'Halloran at the top, but I think, to me, he almost slides down to number three now that I've had a little bit more time to think about it.
Yeah, with what we've discussed, I think that there's like a few things that you can point to that make that evidence-based. I really like what you said about Sheldrick before, is the fact that even though Mills didn't have huge CBAs last week, he's now out of the picture completely.
Yeah.
And
a richer matchup in 2 weeks.
Yeah, I think that almost is key to me, because whatever happens this week, we know he's going to go up in cash, or we hope he's going to go up in cash. He's got a pretty low break even. And then if you're forced into holding him for another week, if there's carnage, well, you don't feel so bad about that when you've got a guy going into a richer matchup. So for me, I do like the sound of that. Berry, talk to me about Berry, because I know he's a guy that you kind of settled on this afternoon, but why?
So this is where I'm leaning. So what my initial plan is, I was going to go O'Halloran.
Close your eyes and imagine what you'll look like 6 months from now. How's your hair look? The same? Now picture how your hair would look if you started using Hims. If you're picturing the same you as before, but with much thicker and fuller hair, you'd be correct. What can happen in 3 to 6 months? You could pick up a new hobby and get not that good at it yet. You could do about half of your New Year's resolution. You could learn a few songs on the piano, or pick up bass guitar. Or you could start seeing thicker, fuller hair regrowth through Hims. Not bad for just 3 to 6 months. Men, if you're starting to notice your hair thinning when you look in the mirror, you're not alone. Life just gets busier and busier, and it can feel like there's not enough time in the day to do something about it. So, try Hims Hair Loss Solutions. You can avoid jumping through a bunch of frustrating hoops and get access to treatment without even leaving your home. Hims provides you with the convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients, like finasteride and minoxidil, that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized, chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary based on studies on topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
But I think I'm going to hold off on that now, and I'm going to wait until the hour before and see if Berry's the sub. If he's not the sub, and I don't actually expect him to be, at least this week. It's more the following weeks that I'm a little bit cautious of if he has a bad game this weekend. But he, to me, is a guy that he's going to play midfield minutes, And just a lot of the research I've done in the last 24 hours, there's been a lot of praise about his ability to play two roles. And that's always been the knock on him, is he's very one note. The other thing that was also keeping him out of the side is like he was a very like slow pace midfielder. And when Adelaide had Crouch and Laird in the midfield for a long time, there was too many players that were same. Well, Crouch is not there right now. Laird's playing a half back. I think it is till their buys. Okay. So now his pace is almost unique into that midfield. So maybe he has a bit more of a role.
His lack of pace is
his
unique.
Lack of pace.
Like that's what you want. We're going to bring you in for your lack of pace.
Well, his defensive-minded sort of game style, he tackles very, very hard. He's averaged 80 for an entire season. 84, I think, for an entire season. He's still young and... I don't know.
He is young.
You come in and you put up a game like that. I know it's against the West Coast Eagles. I just think it buys him a few weeks, potentially, from avoiding the bet. And if he's on, I think he's almost just as good as Sheldrick in terms of a per-minute player. And he's just got an extra week to do it in. So round 15 versus Sheldrick's round 14, which is sort of the tiebreaker there. So I'd probably rank those two as my top two.
Okay.
And then I'd go Xavier O'Halloran and then Kane McAuliffe last.
If there's a positive to take out of that as well, I believe they play each other
this
weekend.
Yeah.
So it means that if we do get late news that one is the sub.
And I'll go through some stats when we'll talk about the...
Is there much of a price difference?
Not too much, like 30K or something like that. I think Berry is the cheapest of them.
60.
But not massively.
About 30K.
There's a stat when we talk about Sydney and what they've been giving up to certain players in the big boys that I think might also kind of indirectly help Sam Berry as well.
Okay, before we do the big boys, one more super chat here from Limits. Holy Trainer. I think perhaps Limits, it means Hold Trainer, but...
But Holy Trainer, yeah, it suits.
Prayers up. If it means an extra number on field, would you hold Trainer? Not in that forward role.
This depends if you are holding Trainer. If you have 18 or even 19, like say you had 19, but Angus Clark or Johnson were one of those players from last night, then yes, I would hold Trainer and hope he goes better than those guys. If you had like 20 or 21, a couple of those scores are going to drop off, then I think you can trade him. Okay. It sort of depends on your numbers this week, I think.
Good advice. You ready to put the goggles on, mate?
Let's do it. Woo! Okay, we got a big week. It is bye rounds, which means, remember, the last game of the round is when those blue dots are locked. So don't fall into the trap. Hopefully you didn't do it last night already. Don't fall into the trap of VCing someone in the beginning of the round just because you're used to doing that, because we can pick anybody. You could pick someone on the Sunday second last game as a VC and roll into a C, which I actually think might be the optimal play this week, in fact. Because at number one, I do have the number one averaging player in the competition, and that is Bailey Smith. Ooh. I have him as my number one big boy. Now, some people might be concerned about the shin, getting injections. To my eyes, he looked absolutely fine.
You got good weekend. Eyes, too.
Great eyes. 2020, mate.
It's 2025.
He looked great. I think there was a bit of mayo on the whole injury reporting thing. He trained completely, like fully this week. It's West Coast. He's not going to travel to West Coast if he's sore, injured, anything like that. It's a win regardless. So if he's there, he's my number one target. He's put up these massive numbers in the last three against hard opponents. And now he's got an easy kill. And he can't go anything but 100%.
Maybe he likes it hard, mate. Maybe he likes it a bit rough.
This guy he's got pig tendencies to me. This guy,
you can't be snouting anyone, mate.
My role, but he is a sponge. I'll say that. He's got sponge written all over him. He loves the footy. So he's my number one.
Absorbent and yellow and porous, is he?
Very porous. The second guy on the list, and very close. So these two, if you're worried about Bailey Smith, I am very close for number two, and that is Max Gawn. So these two guys are, I think, head and shoulders. I need that sponsorship.
You do. That's your favorite
above,
thing to say.
Above the rest, because Max Gawn is coming up against Royal Marshall. Do you remember this game last year? This was the game, I believe, that he had the fitness test.
Fitness test for a 170.
Right before the game, and then he tailed up Ron Marshall for a 150 plus.
This is where I remember not hearing about this fitness test until post-game. This is where tuning out actually helps you.
I did the same thing. I captained him, and I loved it.
Yeah, because if we had seen a fitness test, we probably would have taken
I would have. I absolutely would have. So he's absolutely killing right now, and it's the same story for Ron Marshall, who's a good ruckman, but still giving up plenty of points. So he is at number two. Number three goes to the, going into the round, a top eight midfielder, which it might not feel like it, but Tom Green so far has been a top eight mid for the season, Luke, averaging just over 101 points.
Tom Green is?
Yep.
Give me a fucking spell.
He's a top eight mid.
You need to crunch the numbers again.
No, he's a top eight mid, averaging 101.
That's fake news.
What
are our top eight mids doing, averaging 101?
That's terrible. I'm telling you, it's not good. Horrific. It's not good. It's more of an indictment on the midfielders. But he comes up against Richmond, and that is a happy hunting ground. And I think he is going to bounce back in a big way. He put up a couple of subpar scores, but 3 weeks ago against Geelong, he had 133. I expect a game similar to that this round. Number four, Jordan Dawson.
JD.
I want you to listen to some of these scores. Now, he could get some James Jordan attention. Some Jordan on Jordan action here.
Bit of Jordan squared.
Yeah, but he could also go to Rankin. And I think it's a better matchup for Jordan, do you think? Like, Dawson's a big fella. I don't think James Jordan can do too much to Jordan Dawson.
Yeah, Jordan Dawson is a beast.
Look at some of these. So if he doesn't get tagged, I think he's got a massive ceiling score potentially coming. So the last few rounds, Clayton Oliver, 130. Kyle Langdon, 121. Adam Chera, 121. Setterfield, 125. Finn Callahan, 121. That's all in the last four rounds. So, and these names here, they're not your number one mids. These are the guys that are second, third, sometimes fourth mids in Langdon's case, who are going massive. And this is what also, as I referred to earlier, gives me a little bit of hope for someone like Sam Berry, that Sydney, they'll put all their effort into stopping the number one guy, but then the other guys who aren't being tagged by James Jordan, they rack up. So it's a bit of a risky play. So if you want to VC him, I think it's an awesome opportunity.
You can VC him and then go into your Sunday games with
into the top two,
Max Gorn and Bailey Smith. So I think that's where the big boys will be sending me this week.
I think so, yeah. It is a bit of a risk. So he could get some James Jordan attention, but I think if he doesn't, he'll go massive. And at number five, it was Dane Zorko, who played last night. Started really slowly and only got a 90. So yeah, no need to talk further on that one.
Before we get a little bit spicy, somebody in the comments asked about my old man and how's he going. So I think he'd love to get a bit of airtime on the live show. So he is he in the top 50? 50 something?
He was like 51 going into the round, yeah?
51 going into the round.
Number one Richmond.
Number one Richmond person.
Second in the big boys, the ball boys Patreon league.
Yeah. Number one for arrogance too. He's got it covered. Love you, Dad.
Yeah. No, we want it to go well. I mean, I'll have a new co-host next year a different Rogerson in here.
It's you copping the shaft, mate.
We've got to keep the hats on the podcast, mate. That's you need some credentials to be.
Yeah, and I'm going the wrong way about it. Yeah. Okay, you know what I'm good at? Spicy takes. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Upside down maracas, because that's how I grabbed them.
Yeah. Don't do that.
Milking the cow, baby.
You've actually written something down first, so you can go first this week.
I have, mate. Now, spicy takes, you've told me that the spicy takes should be a long shot. So, my spicy take...
I don't think part of this is a long shot.
Ned Long.
Oh!
Okay, nice. let me tell you what's going to happen tonight. This is what's going to happen. Ned Long says, oh, shit. I'm not bad. I'm not a bad player. I scored 130 last week.
I liked doing that last week.
And he says, boys, come on into the team, side, bottom, penalty. Don't worry, come in, but I'm still going to ton up.
Yeah, while you're away, I'm the guy.
And you
look
know what?
Look at me. Okay, I'm the man captain. Now.
Yeah. And not only is he going to ton up, but he's going to say, you can even have the time on ground. I'll go sub 70% time on ground, and I'm still going to ton up. And okay. Both of them. Go Longy.
Go Longy.
DeLonghi.
In natural spicy take fashion, it is optimistic. So I'm going to say that this week against the Gold Coast Suns, who don't put any negative attention into opponents, Caleb Sarong winds back the clock, and he gives us not 100, not a 110, not a 120, but 130 plus point performance this week, and forces us to hold him next week and not trade him out on his bye like I had originally planned. So Caleb Sarong will go so right, Luke.
No.
Yep. All right, let's move on.
It won't happen. Drop your spicy takes in the comments.
Yeah,
if
let
you
us
so
know.
Wish. It's not an order, but if you wish, and I reckon it's that time where we answer some questions. Mitch,
yeah, get
you
your
think?
Questions in, guys. We'll answer Super Chats first, and if you had a question that you had earlier up in the chat, might be best to repost it because that makes it easy for us to read some of these questions, and Luke struggles reading at the best of times. So,
it's not my forte.
No. All right. Let's. So, yeah, Impedy wants to get the old man on the pod. What do you?
No room.
It's a tight space here.
It's tight squeeze. It's hard to tell, but there's barely room to scratch ourselves in here. And plus, I don't want him on the pod. No, I'm mucking around, having a bit of fun. Okay, let's check out some question time. Ella says, if we VC'd the Zork last night, who are we going into? Based on the big boys, you got a few options.
Well, based on the big boys, it's your Sunday guys. If you got a Max Gawn or a Bailey Smith, those are the guys I'd be targeting. I do feel confident going into Bailey Smith, but I also am equally confident with Max Gawn. So if the Bailey Smith kind of shin injection saga, shin gate, injection gate, if that's something that scares you off and you have Max Gawn, you have my green light to go ahead and captain Max Gawn. I think those two are... Yeah, the really confident ones I have this week.
James asks, Marich up to Holmes, or are we going Campo fixing a red dot to a Sheldrick or a McAuliffe?
Ryan Marich, so what... Can someone in the chat please confirm or deny if he got tagged last night? I can't actually imagine that is something that happened, but I did see it somewhere, someone say something. He does have Geelong, North, Carlton coming up. He scored a 51, but the 3 weeks before that, he went 84, 92, 109. Like, Holmes could easily do scores like that. So, to me, it's the second option, and I would go to Sheldrick.
Okay.
But I don't know. I don't know if that's a sign of things to come for Ryan Marich.
Next question comes from Luca. It says, Mitch, you're hot.
That's not a question. That is a emphatic statement.
I appreciate the sentiment, but my name's actually Luke.
No, he's Luca. You're reading the wrong part, mate.
You are doing well to control your burner accounts as well as read the questions here. We got some serious questions coming in. We got a head-to-head question from Brendan. What do we got, Mitch?
A head-to-head question. Opponent C-seed or captained, I'm assuming, McCluggage. What the fuck? He was averaging 100 anyway instead of a save 110. What's a smash? VLC to potentially match with his highest ceiling currently going Green then Smith.
Green doesn't have that enormous ceiling to match that, does he?
He has scored a 170 in the past, but not for a little while. So in terms of ceiling scores, I think the players with the highest ceiling this week are probably... Look, someone who I have no idea how to rank is Lockie Whitfield. I have no idea whether or not he's going to be halfback or forward wing, whether it matters. But he's got a massive ceiling, but there's a lot of uncertainty there.
But that's what a VC is about sometimes.
That is what a VC is about. So he could be a really good VC. Tom Green, I do think, has a little bit of ceiling. I'm not sure if he's got like the 150 ceiling, but I think he's got 130 ceiling. I think Max Gawn and Bailey Smith have the 150 ceiling. So those two, and probably Dawson as well, has probably got a 140 ceiling, I think, potentially in this matchup. So, yeah, Dawson, I'd say, has got a higher ceiling than Green. Green's probably got a higher floor than Dawson. So if you're looking for ceiling, I'd go Dawson, and then those top two, I think, could do both.
Fantasy Fanatics, Bales lurking around. How about Loman Gang? Let's go. Couple of quick ones, says Bales. Trade Marich or Daniel? As well as trade Trainer or Foss.
I'm in the camp of trading Trainer over Foss. There's way more money, so you're going to make a much better trade, in my opinion. And he's going down in cash. And Finn O'Sullivan, he had his career high last week, right?
The big Foss.
He's on the way up. So, and West Coast asked for his buy, so I'm happy to hold him. As when it comes to Marish or Daniel, I think it depends on how many players you have this week. I'm gonna put the line at 20. If you've got less than 20, I'm trading Daniel. If you've got more than 20, I'm trading Marich.
Sneaky Fusion says, Jaden Short to Angus Clark, Reed to Lockie Ash, and Trainer to Holmes. Thoughts? That sounds good to me.
Yeah, I'll tick those off. Yeah, for sure.
You got to ditch Shorty, bring in the up-and-coming Rook on the price, and then Ash and Holmes.
Yeah, those are two good round 16 defenders for sure.
Sure. What else have we got here? Fiona says, hi, guys. Different question for you. Who do I trade, Sicily or Mills? 20 players playing currently this week with the Sick Dog and 19 without, including Cleary. Who are you trading?
Okay, so do I... Yeah, I think you do trade Mills first. What's Sicily's price? There's been a bit of talk that he's been a bit sore or something recently. Two back-to-back 50s. That's pretty fucking gross. I'll tell you that much for free. I think you still have to back in the Sick Dog and trade out Mills. Like, Mills suspended, came back, super low tog. I think you gotta ditch him. I'd probably back in Sicily.
Matt says, boys, who do we back out of Green, Brayshaw and Ash? Of course the GWS boys have the great matchup.
So Ash did make the top 10 big boys. But Green, I've just got a little bit higher. And maybe this is me favouring history, I guess, a bit more. And sometimes that can be my undoing. I also would love to know if Whitfield is playing halfback or not. If Whitfield is definitely playing forward, then maybe it is Ash. But there was a quote saying, and I sort of see this as well, like Whitfield, he's a genuine halfback. I don't think it's going to be something they persist with long term. So... it's Green, Brayshaw and Ash. You could flip a coin depending on your buy rounds.
Sure. VC, Brayshaw or Wang? Would you put the big Wang in the VC?
Wang's top 10. Wang is top 10.
Stop giving away your secrets.
He's lower down, but I would go Brayshaw first. Gold Coast, don't tag. The fourth easiest matchup over the last five games.
There could be some good scoring in that Gold Coast game. We want Noah Anderson to go well.
That's where's that? Is that game Sarong. On the Gold
it's
Coast?
It's at People First, yeah.
Yeah.
Hopefully rain goes away.
Well, that might be good for Brayshaw because he doesn't get fucking marks anyway. So yeah, more tackles.
Apparently he's parked the marks.
So more tackles for him is probably a good thing for him, to be fair.
Beautiful.
Yeah, so I think that's probably where I would go that way.
Let's get a couple more queer skills.
Ella just wants Luca to know that he's hot too. And
yeah, well.
I'm sure you are, Luca.
I am.
Not you, Luke. No, Luca. Not you, Luke. Yeah, no, just, Luca, you look like Joe Danaher.
I'll tell you, you can call me what you want. That's for sure. Louis says, Daniel to Sinclair with 370K in the bank for next week or go somewhere else. Only have the one premium on the round 13 buy.
If you only have one round 13... it's Sinclair, right?
Yeah, I mean that's the thing is you that's the round where you can afford to bring in a premium.
It feels gross because you're just getting one round and then he's on his bye.
Yeah.
But again, we want to treat these bye rounds like one gigantic round. So five rounds, treat it as one gigantic thing. And you're gonna end up with more players on field going with this option and potentially, you know, he's going to help you out in rounds 14, 15, 16, where you probably have more players on those buy rounds. So, yeah, I'd be happy to do that. And 370K, massive upgrades next week.
Alex says, two red dots to Sheldrick and Berry, or trade Marich or Daniel to Petrarca or Dawson to suit the buy structure. I mean, okay, so suiting the buy structure here, but you're obviously trading in a premium that is yet to have their buy and they're a premium. Would you prefer to do some bench hygiene stuff? Is this one of those ones where, Alex, if you're struggling with your bench hygiene, then you do the first?
Yeah, I think this is a cash gen team value dependent answer. Look, the thing I will say about Jordan Dawson, he's not typically someone, like his price is not normally where I go. But if I look at the round 15 buys in the midfield, there is no one that I want outside of Jordan Dawson. Like, on that buy round, you've got teams like There's Adelaide, obviously. Melbourne, like, you're not... Clayton Oliver, he's not there anymore. I mean, maybe he is. He had a 130 last week, and I have him. Hawthorn, like Newcomb, maybe, yep. But he's probably a guy you'd want to trade on that buy, potentially. You've got West Coast. There's no one there. So, like, Dawson is, like, the only premium mid, really, that has that round 15 buy. So, yep. Getting him in actually does help a lot in a lot of people's buy structures. I could definitely see that. So, if you had decent cash generation, you've got a decent team value, maybe it's north of 23.5 million, I'd probably go that way. But if you're a team like mine and you've got fuck all cash gen, then I think you've got to fix up those red dots.
Luke asks about buys to Hardiman next week for cash. Talk to me about Hardiman.
Yeah, I'm forecasting this one a little bit as well.
Okay.
Hardiman has got a negative one break even, just tunned up. And
great pawn name too, actually.
Yeah, him and Johnson would get on like a house on fire. So 106 against the Collingwood Magpies, which coincided with Sheasel moving up forward. I think there's a little bit of word that they're going to persist with Sheasel's role, at least for the little bit, but you never know. I think he's another one of those guys like what we've got this week that you can have that short to medium term punt on, and he's coming off his buy round.
Yeah.
I think his job security is also pretty good as well. So, breaking even of one, going up against West Coast immediately after his buy. So, yeah, he is definitely someone I'd be penciling down as a potential trade-in target next week.
Oh, let's go a couple more questions, hey. Let's go with Deathamator's question. How many premiums are too many for each buy? I've got 5 on the round 16 buy. Is that too many? Round 16, obviously,
I think it's too many. You've got to sort of also divide the premiums into the ones that you absolutely want to keep and the premiums that maybe you could trade. So, for example, Max Holmes is around 16 premium. It depends what he does between now and there, but he might be a guy you trade on that buy. Who's someone else? Like a Lucky Neal or someone like that. You might want to trade those sort of players. So
Will Ashcroft, potentially?
Well, he's not a premium, but yes, you would be looking to trade him before or on his buy.
Yeah, people are...
I mean, he's going pretty good for a forward, to be fair. Basically averaging 80. So,
Are you talking about Levi? I'm talking about Will.
Oh, sorry, Will Ashcroft. Yeah. There's another Ashcroft, isn't there?
Yeah, there's two of them.
Three of them, Will Ashcroft.
Three of them, if you count Jasper Fletcher.
Yeah, he looks like him. These kind of players, I wouldn't stress too much about those because I'm trading them out. If they're 5 genuine premiums, I think that is the limit. I wouldn't want 6, but 5 is okay. I would want to try and make sure all my rookies are off field by that round, so then maybe you have the luxury of doing a little sideways move.
Okay, last question here for Laura is, boys, would you trade Bice to get Holmes and have 19 players on field, including Box, or would you keep Bice and go a red dot to Warner?
I think this is where I do the red dot to Warner. I'm assuming, Laura, that you're one of your trade-ins potentially, because I think 20,000 people did it or more, was Angus Clark, and he scored the 42. Plus, you got Box, who every chance he's the sub. You're starting to get into territories where you're potentially having a 40 in your best 18, and I think I'd want to avoid that. So, as much as I like Holmes and his run, Chad Warner's, he's been killing it as well. So he's not a bad option, not a bad consolation prize. And they're a similar price. So I think I'd go that way.
Should we put a bow on it?
I think we should, mate. What are your trades this week? You got them all locked in?
I think I'm locked in and cannot do anything. I'm just at the mercy of the fantasy gods now. So Loman Clark and, I mean, maybe not. O'Halloran's currently sitting there, but...
Is he sitting in your forward line or your midfield right now?
He is sitting in my midfield.
Okay, so you do have some flexibility.
Place to sit. So, based on our discussions today, there'll be a little bit more thinking to do.
Yeah.
Coleman Reed and Finno Sullivan currently the outs.
I'm doing a lot of those mid-prices as well. I have traded out Zach Reed and Lewis Hayes with his ACL. He's gone for me as a red dot fix-up to Clark, and I got Kai Loman in last night. And then Lucas Camporeale is also being traded out to Sam Berry. So that's 3 red dots out for 3 cash generating options for me. So I should have about 20 players playing this week. So hopefully the 57 and 42 that were scored last night are the numbers that drop off, but we'll wait and see. Thank you very much, guys, for tuning in. And if you enjoyed the podcast, if you are having a great day, if you just want to be friendly, give us a big old thumbs up on the video here. Make sure you subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and on YouTube. And if you haven't yet, go to the Patreon, patreon.com/ballboys, and sign up and get an extra bonus podcast per week, access to early big boys and all my trade targets every single week. And of course, Rojo's round review to summarize a great weekend.
It's the best part of it, Christina Petrarca.
Yeah, Christina Petrarca, all the highlights over there. Thank you very much, guys, and we'll see you guys on Monday. Have a good weekend. Bye.